Chapter 11. Desperately Wicked. Quite likely you would be offended and shocked if one of your friends told you that you were a desperately wicked person, or if someone would describe you that way publicly. You know some people who are wicked, perhaps some of them you consider to be desperately wicked, and you have read of such people in history and in the accounts of crime which fill the news stories. And you would not wish to be classed with them. You belong to the respectable class of people, that class who are not as good as they might be, but who do not do anything very bad. It would certainly be a gross libel to point you out as desperately wicked, would it? Let's consider this matter a little. The Lord has said something on the point, and He does not libel people, but tells everyone the exact truth. Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Whose heart is it? There are no particular people specified in the statement. Its application is general. It means your heart and mine. Neither does it say, "Your heart may become deceitful and desperately wicked," but it is that way already. There is no getting around it. The Lord says, "Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." No matter your respectability and standing in society, if the human heart rules within you, then you are desperately wicked, and it is only because your heart is so deceitful that you do not realize the fact. Yes, there is murder there. There is adultery. There is theft and blasphemy. There is that dreadful crime which shocked you when you read it, and for which a man was executed. There is everything of which lawless people are guilty, and which is contrary to the Ten Commandments. The Lord says so, for He says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Romans chapter 8, verse 7. To how much of the law of God is the carnal mind not subject? Can it be subject to part of the law and not subject to the remaining part? Certainly that cannot be. Your heart must be either subject to the law in its entirety or not subject to it at all. And the carnal heart, as the text declares, is not subject to the law of God. This carnal nature is the nature you get by birth, and this nature you must retain, no matter what your station and occupation is, until you allow the Lord to transform your heart by the power of His grace. And therefore, when this natural or carnal heart exists, you are at enmity with every law in the Ten Commandments. You are not only at enmity with the command which says, "Thou shalt not covet," as very respectable people can be, but you are also not in harmony with the commands which say, "Thou shalt not kill," and "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You may not feel the enmity stirring you up to commit some shocking deed, but nevertheless it is there. Even if you think you are a good person, do you know what is in your heart? How often do circumstances reveal evils that you didn't dream of? Let your nature become suddenly ruffled, and words and deeds spring forth which cause you surprise and shame. People don't start out in life to become murderers or adulterers or burglars. Such ones would be horrified if you told them at the beginning what the developments of later years would bring. Their nature was the same as yours. Evil deeds were there. There is no use denying what the Lord tells you. If mere respectability could decide the question, the devil would have the advantage over you, for he is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And you don't have that power. You can't compete with the devil in good appearance. The Lord sees you just as you are, and the sooner you see yourself as He sees you, the better. When you become convinced that you really are desperately wicked, you will see the necessity of getting rid of your inherited carnal heart altogether, instead of trying to make it presentable to God by your efforts at patching it up. You will be ready to accept the new heart which God gives you, on condition of perfect submission to Him. You will be willing to receive Jesus Christ who dwells in your heart by faith. It is for you to choose between a heart that is desperately wicked and one that is infinitely good.